Take your Bibles this morning. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. You have a Bible this morning? By the way, I mentioned this in prayer and haven't talked about it. Y'all know Clayton back here. And he's come to me from time to time. We've talked and visited and had good talks. And we like old Clayton around here. And he asked me, we talked about him knowing the Lord, and I believe he does. And he said, will you baptize me? And I said, I sure will. So we've got everything ready back there. When I get done preaching, that's what we're going to do this morning. He's got some family folk. These are all families. These are not your worst enemies, are they? All right. Yeah, those. Because if they were, they'll want me to hold you under until bubbles come up. But anyway, it's good to have them here, and y'all just make them welcome. And by the way, anybody that's a visitor here, I'm going to notify you right now. You are sitting in a room full of wretched, hell-deserving sinners. Got evil hearts. But they called unto God one day, and God saved them. Can I hear God's people say amen? Amen. So, church is not necessarily about where all the good people come. Church, the way I see it, the way I see the scriptures, is where all the bad people come to get better. When it really dawned on me Tuesday, something was wrong. I made a call to my doctor, and the receptionist said, "Well, we'll try to get you in. You know, we're booked this week. We'll try to get you in." And then somebody, a friend, called my doctor back and said, "You need to talk to him." And the next thing I know, I got a cell phone, somebody else's cell phone in my hand. It's your doctor. He wants to talk to you. And I told him what was going on. He said, "You need to come in today." So I appreciate that. It's one thing to ask for yourself. It's another thing when someone else asks for you. I believe in that. That's called intercessory prayer. And you're here. You're probably here this morning because somebody prayed for you. You are. So that's how it is. But then you prayed for yourself. You asked God, "God, I need help. I didn't call when I realized I was sick. I didn't call McDonald's. Okay, I didn't call Brady. Brady, I need some tacos bad. If I got a sourdough jack in my hand, I would feel a lot better. Now there's been days when I felt that way, but I called the doctor. You go to the hospital, you're in a building full of sick people. And when you come to church, they that are whole need not a physician. That's what the Bible says. But they that are sick. So you're sitting in a room full of sick people who are asking God to give them help. So I just want you to know that. I don't let these people think of themselves any highly than they ought to, because we want to be a friend to sinners. Because that's who we are. We want to tell people about Jesus. Can I hear you say amen? Anyway, pray for me this morning. Isaiah chapter 48, are you there? Say amen. We believe here that this Bible is the Word of God, and everything that it says is right, and it's holy, and it's true. And we can argue with it sometimes, but the bottom line is God's always going to win the argument because He's always right. And when God says things, it's better than when we say things. And a couple Sundays ago, I started preaching a message on being profitable. And this had nothing to do with making money, but I believe that if you'll run your business the way God tells you to run your business, I believe God will bless it. I really do. I believe that there are principles in the Bible for how to do things. whether you own your own business and run it, or whether you're an employee at somebody else's business, I believe that there's a Bible way for you to be a servant to a master. And when you work for somebody, that's essentially what it is. You don't work for yourself, you're serving them, but they are giving you something in return. And I believe the Bible has the answers. And can I just throw this in without making anybody mad? I may make somebody mad from time to time, but I don't want to. But I have to tell the truth. There are things in our country, as far as the American workforce is concerned, that most of us have bought into at one time in our life that are not biblical. Amen. As far as working for someone else, there are things that we've been told from other people who have an agenda about how we are to be as workers in a workplace that are unscriptural and unbiblical. Your responsibility, if you're going to please God, is to find out rather than what somebody else said, is find out what God said. Can I get an amen out of God's people? And if you run a business, there's ways to run that business according to the Word of God. But what I'm dealing with is having a profitable life, or a life that has a benefit at the end of it, not just to yourself, but to other people as well. And I started studying this out, and God kind of led me to this idea in the Scriptures. And I've read the Bible, and I never really paid attention to this particular place here. But Isaiah chapter 48, verse 16, here's what the Bible says. Come ye near unto me, and hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God in His Spirit has sent me. Did you know that's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ? This actually is a prophecy. And Jesus used these words in His ministry. And the fact is, God has not spoken in secret. You have right here, if you brought one with you or you just grabbed one out of the pew there, you have the record of everything that God said right here. This is the Word of God. And so he tells us everything that we're to believe. But we don't in this church, we don't have a secret set of books hidden away somewhere for only the elders of the church to look at of what God said. We don't have that. Same Bible that you have is the same Bible that's up here, and it's the same one that I read and study out of every day. It's the same thing. So he said now in verse 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, watch this now, which teacheth thee to profit. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. We can all answer the question in our own minds, do we always go the way that we should go? And the answer is no. The answer is an absolute no. We don't always do that. That's when we step out of the way that God is leading us. But if we'll get back in that thing, God will lead us in the way that He wants us to go. And God will teach us how to profit. God will teach us how to have blessings in our life. God will teach us how to be a blessing to other people in our life, and how to have a remnant of blessings left over in our life. That's what profit's all about. If you work all month and you get paychecks, and your paychecks are exactly the same amount as all your bills that month, is that profiting? It's not. Because there's a couple things that everybody here ought to know. Is that number one, hopefully you have a little bit of money left over at the end of the month that you didn't spend on something, didn't have to spend on something. Number one, I believe it's biblical and I believe it's common sense to lay some of that back just in case something happens. Like Eric, children know that if you have a little bit of money left over, the kids will always, mom's got 50 bucks and 27 cents.
Mom, can I have a dollar?
Because they know. And when our children come to us, right? When our children come to us, can I have this? We don't want to be mean to them all the time, even though sometimes it is fun. We don't want to be mean to them all the time. We want to give them something. That's, you know what's happening? Other people are being blessed by your profitability. Does that make sense to everybody? Other people are being blessed by what you have. And I'm using illustrations of like money and things like that, but this is far deeper than that. It has to do with the blessings of your life. If you have ever, listen to me now, if you have ever been in a situation where you were talking with people and all of a sudden something come up and this reminded you of what God did in your life, and you ever said, can I tell you what God did for me when I was in a place just like that? Can I tell you what God did for me? How many of you have ever done something like that? Raise your hand. You know what happened? God made you profitable. And the blessings that you still had years after this, whatever it was, happened, the blessings are still there, and you're able to give those to other people. Why? For their profit, for their blessing, for their benefit. That's what it's all about. And God, the Bible says, He teaches us how to profit. He teaches us how to have blessings, how to have happiness, how to have joy, peace, how to have salvation, how to have things in our life, not just the tangible merchandise things of this world that everybody clamors for, but the real things in life that actually mean something at the end of your life. Can I get an amen out of God's people? And can I get a bottle of water out of God's people this morning? Amen. Appreciate that, Alicia. All right. But anyway, he says in verse 18, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments." I can tell you, God says that to me a lot. "Oh, Mike, if you'd have just listened to my commandments, if you'd have just done what I wanted you to do, if you'd have just done what I told you to do, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." But we all live down here next to the Mississippi River. Has the Mississippi River ever run dry? Not even last year when we had a drought. There was still water running down. Anybody ever been to the ocean? Anybody ever been to the sea where the waves are coming in? Did you ever notice when the waves stopped coming in? They just keep doing it. That's what God says. He's using those things that we can see to teach us His ways. He said, "Thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also have been as the sand, and thine offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name shall not be cut off nor destroyed from before me." And last time I preached this message, I was preaching about on an individual's life and in a person's life, how it is when we are unprofitable. How it is when we don't give. Thank you, Alicia. You didn't drink out of this, did you? Huh? It's all right. How to have blessings, and I don't know where to put this. Hang on. Anyway, last couple Sundays ago, I was preaching this message, and I was dealing with it on an individual basis. How we can y'all pray for me. In fact, let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I need your help. I don't like this, but God, this is light affliction. God, I'd rather deal with this than hell any day of the week. And I thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your grace and your help. And Lord, I'm very weak today, and I'm asking you to be strong. Be strong for these people. And God, I don't want anybody admiring me for standing up here and going against, you know, the weakness and everything like that. I don't want anybody admiring me. And, oh, boy, the pastor's a good guy, and I don't want that, God. What I want, God, is for you to help people and encourage them and bless them. Save somebody from hell today. I want you to bless our church, and I want everybody to say, God, you're a good God. So, Lord, I'm asking for your help, and I pray, Lord, that you'd give it today. Give it to these people more so than me. And I ask you this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, thank you for praying for me this morning. I'm gonna sit down here for a minute, all right? But we dealt with a couple Sundays ago the idea of personal profitability and what happens when we waste our life, we waste things in our mind, we waste everything in this world, and we are no profit to our wives, our husbands, our children, our country. Listen, I want to tell you something. Let me just say this for a minute. There is an unprofitableness about the United States of America. Do you believe that? Say amen. How much money does this country have versus what we owe? It cannot even be counted, I don't think. We have become an unprofitable nation. And mark my word, all the nations and all the banks that this country owes money to, at some point, they're going to say they're not going to be able to pay it off. What do you think is going to happen to this nation? Do you see how this works? This affects your life. It affects my life. This is going to affect our children. We went to Tea Party gatherings when they first came out. Why? Because we realized that there was something going wrong in our government, and they were not spending our money. They spent our money years ago. Whose money were they spending? Our children and our grandchildren's money. Our grandchildren and our children are going to inherit a debt that they cannot pay off. This is an unprofitable country. We have unprofitable workers in our workforce. We have unprofitable companies. We have unprofitable churches in this country. Can I hear you say amen? So instead of preaching to individuals, I'm going to preach to Bethel Church this morning. I would like for us to be a profitable church. Not a church that at the end of the month, our bottom line looks okay. We got money in the bank and this. I mean, those are important. Don't get me wrong. But if all we're concerned about here, number one, is filling this pew and this pew and that pew back there and putting more money in the plate, more money in the bank, if that's all we care about here, I'm folding it up. Let's go home. Because that's not why we're here. Let's learn how to be a profitable church for, number one, the kingdom of God. Number two, because you happen to come here and you bring your family here. Why? Because you think that there's something here that would be a benefit to your children. Or else you would have either left them at home, taken them to the lake, or taken them to some other church. You believe that there's something here at this church for you, your marriage, your family, your children, and hopefully maybe one of these days, the neighbor down the street who you have been praying for to be saved. Hopefully you think that there's something about this church that is profitable to them. Because if they're not, why are we gathered here? We gathered here just because we're going to have a meal today, or we gathered here just because we like the fellowship, or the air conditioner's on, or whatever. We have to ask ourselves why we're here today. So in the course of studying all this out, God led me to take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 13. And I used this illustration a couple Sundays ago about the linen girdle that God told Jeremiah to put on. I'll use Jimmy Carmichael as an illustration this morning. Can I do that, Jimmy? Anything I want to do. He come in bragging this morning. He's got new hose on. Right? Doctor told him to wear them, right, for your legs and circulation, right? Are they doing any good? You want to show everybody what they are? No. Never mind. So I just use him as an illustration, okay? Doctor tells him to put these girdles on his legs for circulation and whatnot, okay? And they're doing some good. So watch this. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in the hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. It came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates, and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. What do you think happened to that? He took a piece of cloth, went out by the river, where it's riverbanks, where it's wet, nasty all the time, and he put it under the ground. And what happened to it after a few months? What happened to it? Rotted. Got holes all in it. So what good does a pair of holes, ladies? When you have a pair of holes, ladies, and it's got that in it, what do? Huh? Throw them away. Why? They're no good. They're good for nothing. And that's what happens when we spend our lives and our minds and our occupations and everything else giving attendance to everything in the world and everything that the world has instead of to God, instead of to His Word and in prayer and being about our Father's business, we become absolutely good for nothing. Can I hear God's people say amen? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Turn there. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus taught this. They call it the Sermon on the Mount. They say it's a lot of things, but I want you to look at this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Who was that? Brady, you was talking to me about that this morning. You're the salt of the earth. Can I tell you something? We were just talking about this. Can I tell you that the Creator of you wrote this Bible? And if the Creator of you knew enough to create you out of nothing, doesn't He know enough about you? When the Bible says you're the salt of the earth, do you think He meant exactly what it said? Did you know where the Bible says God made man from? The dirt. You know what's in our bodies right now? Minerals that can be found in the ground. Amen? Now, I want you to look around this congregation this morning. Just look at the faces of the people here. You do not see any green people. You do not see any purple people. You do not see any sky blue people. You know what you see? You see people whose skin color matches the exact color that you find in dirt. There's yellow dirt. You ever see any of that? There's red dirt. There's brown dirt. There's tan dirt. Look around you. We got yellow people and red people and brown people and this color people. They say that's white. This is white. Amen? You know what that means? God made all of us out of the same dirt. See, it's right. It's right. So then He said, you're the salt of the earth. I told Brady, I've done this. Lisa was all hot and sweaty yesterday running that yard sale. I just reached over and kissed her on the forehead. Honey, let's go home and get a bath. Do you know why? It tasted like... That's what your body's made of. This Bible's right. But look at the spiritual application. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth what? Good for nothing. But to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. No wonder in this country we are being trodden under the foot of men in our own government. We're being trodden under the foot of men because by and large, the church in this nation is good for nothing. Listen, if I can preach loud, you can amen loud. It is good for nothing. There was a time when churches had revivals, people came and they got saved. And when churches had revivals, government officials all of a sudden changed their mind. Bars closed down. Cat houses and houses of ill repute closed their doors. You know why? No customers. Nobody showed up. There was a time when the church was good for something in America. Now we're good for nothing in this country. This is why we are being run over. This is why at some point they're going to require the pastor of Bethel Church to preach a sodomite wedding in this house. And I won't do it. And they'll say, we'll throw you in jail. We'll take all your church's money. We'll close your doors. It's because by and large, the church in this nation has become good for nothing. We cannot even salt and savor the lost world in this country. If you think about it, at one time, people didn't lock their doors, they didn't shut their windows, they could leave their house and come back and it would be intact. You remember those days? Children could walk 4 miles to school and not be worried about some pedophile picking them up and running them off and killing them somewhere. You know why that was? The church salted this nation. That's why it was. We don't have that anymore. The church has become unprofitable to our society. Let me tell you what happens when God does that. Let me read some scriptures for you and I'm going to move on because I'm tired. Jeremiah 2 verse 8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? It starts in the pulpit. Jeremiah 2 verse 8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? It starts when the pulpits will not preach the presence of God in a person's life. And they that handle the law knew me not. It happens when you have ministers behind pulpits who have a book called a Bible. They don't believe it anymore. They don't preach it anymore. They'll give you pat on the back lessons, talk about how you need to have different psychology, how you need to think good thoughts, how you need to have better romance in your marriage, and that'll make everything okay. But they do not handle the Word of God. They've got a Bible. They just don't use it. What makes the church unprofitable is when they stop using that which profits behind the pulpit. The pastor's also transgressed against me. Let me tell you another thing that's making the churches unprofitable in this country is the sleazy preachers. Sleazy pastors. Stealing money from the church funds. Looking at women in the church. Having multiple affairs with them. Sleazy, nasty, dirty preachers. That's what makes the church unprofitable in this nation. This Bible says it all. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Rick Warren said in The Purpose-Driven Church, you know, he's the expert on how to build a big church. Rick Warren said that it is wrong for a pastor to think that prayer will build a healthy church. He's a liar. He is going with things that do not profit. Sure, he's got campuses all over the world. Sure, he's got books in bookstores. Sure, he's on the news all the time. Sure, they invited him to pray the prayer to the Muslim god Isa at the inauguration ceremony. But how many people will go to heaven because of what he preached? And is America better because he's trying to reach out to people of all faiths as if they are equal to the one God that we serve in this Bible? Does that profit this country when you back down? Hey, clap, yeah, amen, clap your hands. I'll start feeling better in a minute. Does it profit a nation when preachers without a backbone will slide around and slime around with everybody else in the world and say, oh, we're all your friends, we all want to get along. They do not serve the same God. Does it profit a nation to lie to people, to tell them that if they stay in their religion, they'll be okay? It's unprofitable, and it's a lie, and it's... Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. I want to show you something. What do we call this? Old glory. Isn't that what we called it? It's old glory. So we should have started seeing something, Phil, back in the 80s. When all of a sudden now, people were going
to Washington, to the Supreme Court, from the steps of the Capitol building, and burning flags, American flags. See, I think that ought to be a crime. I do. I think it ought to be a crime. Because good or bad, this is our nation. This is what we got. And I would like for our nation to keep going and move our way toward God. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
I know that if it all fails, I've got a home in glory. Somebody say amen. I get that. And I'm not preaching Americanism, but what I'm telling you is, and anybody in any nation can do this. In Great Britain, you guys in Britain gave us this. Australia, at one time, nations all over the world. In Holland, we got folks from Holland that watch us. Do you know where the Puritans left and went to when they were in persecution in England? They went to Holland because they found safe harbor there. And what's happened to the nations of this world? When the church went bad, their glory left. And now it's not just a shame to burn a flag. It's almost like it's an honor to burn a flag in this country. That's the shame of it. I watched, I was in bed all day Friday. I did not feel good at all. And I watched a documentary about World War II. And I never get over this. On the top of Mount Suribachi, those Marines raising that flag. You don't comprehend the number of American blood and guts that was spilled just to get that flag raised on top of that hill. And I'm telling you, I love my country. But according to Jeremiah 2, this nation has changed her God. This nation has changed her God to false gods. Can I keep preaching? Jeremiah 7. Boy, it seemed like Jeremiah had a lot to say about this. Jeremiah 7, verse 8. He said, "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit." You trust in lying words that cannot profit. Of course, you know I'm going to preach this Bible. There is not one mistake in this Bible. Not one. God wrote it. He gave it to holy men. They wrote it down as God gave it to them. God preserved it. God had it translated for us. It's in our language. Because when you pray, what language do you pray in? English. Even if it's ain't and aren't and all that other stuff. Amen? God, I ain't wanting that to happen to me. God knows what that means. Amen? God speaks your English. God speaks your language. And I do not believe that this Bible has one wrong word in it. But what happens? The guys, see, I've been to Bible college. I know how it works. You come out of Bible college and you're told that this Bible's got mistakes in it. So you know what happens? You know what I was going to do? I was going to do it here. I was going to try to transition this church away from this Bible to false Bibles, false translations, and then eventually, see what happens is, now they don't even preach the Bible in these churches anymore. Now they give them quotes from Winston Churchill and Mahatma Gandhi and Ronald Reagan and Barack Obama to make them feel good. Pat them on the back. Give them a dance show in the church house. Make them feel, it's like going to a pep rally at high school. But if the team loses, what good did it do? You ever been to a pep rally? High school pep rally? Well, there's a lot of energy in them things, ain't there? What happens when the team loses? The pep rally didn't work. They were lying words. You trust in lying words that cannot profit. So the people of this nation who traveled across this country setting up houses and places to live and farms, building them with their own hands because they didn't have the government to do it for them. They did it with their own hands. You know what they had? They had an axe. They had a pick. They had a plow. They had a shovel. They had a King James Bible. And when they had problems, they didn't turn Dr. Phil on. They had problems, they didn't listen to Rush Limbaugh, Dr. Laura. And they had problems, they didn't watch the Oprah Winfrey Network. And they didn't see Dr. Oz telling them how they need to do Reiki and all that metaphysical junk on their bodies. They went to the Bible. And God profited this nation. Those men would read the Bible in the morning, and then they'd get out there on that mule and plow and work that plow all day and think about those words in the Bible. And those words were making them do, and it blessed their farm, and it blessed their homes, and it blessed this nation. You and I have what we have because this word profited the people of this nation. But now we trust in all the other junk in this world. Now we're turning to witchcraft and everything else in this country. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And now we have a vast majority of this country does not know the God of this Bible. Vast majority. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. It's unprofitable. Jeremiah 12:10. I'm almost done. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. This is a vineyard. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you the branches. Right here, this church is a vineyard. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. That is a big statement from God. It wasn't the church members. It wasn't anybody else. It was the pastors. Destroyed the vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. Just like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Good for nothing. They have made pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate. And being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. You know, that's the terrible thing to see. If you go up to certain places north of here, up in St. Louis, you'll see desolation in different places. I'm told that if you go to Detroit right now, Detroit used to be one of the wealthiest cities in the country. What happened? It's gone. It's desolate. Houses crumbling everywhere. You go into different places in the country. You see farms that don't farm anymore. Fields growed over with cedar trees. That's what happens in Missouri when you don't plow the field and take care of the field every day. The cedar trees take it over. How many of them cedar trees do we see laying around all the place? How much desolation do we see in this nation? It's everywhere. Why? It's unprofitable. The pastors destroyed it. The spoilers have come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. And I'm telling you that we have a nation full of good for nothing churches. And I know for a fact the pastors made it that way because I was going to be that pastor. I was on my way to destroying this church and didn't know it. I've never seen the inside of this church ever in their life. I'd like to think that even if they attended one time and they left out of here today, that they would say, I think that church did me some good. I think that church did me some good. Jeremiah 23. I'll let you turn there. I'm going to get a drink. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. I've spent the last, 10 some odd years, 15 years, something like that, with God's help,
trying to convince everybody sitting in a church pew that you have just as much right to God's word as I do. You got a Bible, don't you? You got a Bible? Phil, you got a Bible? Read it. But here's what happens. The pastors get up in front of everybody because they've been overeducated, and they tell people, well, your Bible's got, you know, the real Bible's in Hebrew and Greek, and you won't know what it says. Let me tell you what it really says, Scotty. That's what they're doing. So you know what they've done? They stole the words from their church members. How many of you know what's recognized in this country? That when you go into a church, you should be carrying a Bible. Have you ever seen their yellow caution signs that a city will put in front of a church next to the street? And it's got a silhouette of a man and a woman walking across the street holding a Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it used to be.
Yes.
Who goes into churches with Bibles anymore? We do. Thanks. The pastor stole the words from them. How dare they? Roman Catholic Church does not, to this day, does not want you to read a Bible. They definitely don't want you to think about it. They'll say, we will tell you what to think. God said, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not, listen to this, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. One more place I want you to turn, Matthew 25, verse 30, and I'm going to close. Matthew 25, verse 30. Anybody ever been to Eckerd's Orchard? Isn't that the hoot? I went during peach season one time, made myself sick. I did. I've never had anything tasted that good as a fresh peach right off the tree. And I don't care much for that. We went out there one day and I went, oh, I just let it run all down me. You know what them orchard keepers do if they got a tree that won't put out peaches? Why do they do that, Jim? No profit. You see, they get their money from you coming out there and paying them a ridiculous price. But isn't it worth it? Because by the time you get it at Walmart or down at the fruit stand, it's not quite as good. They get their money from people riding on that wagon to go to those trees and pull those peaches off those trees. And if they got a whole row of trees that ain't putting out anything, they cut them out. What happens when you cut a tree down? What do you do with it? Burn it. Matthew 25:30. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Somebody tell me what that's describing. Hell. D, I am responsible for a whole church going to heaven. That's my job. I'm responsible for a whole group of people on whether or not they've been given the gospel and been given the truth. And there's some people that don't like it, and they hate my guts, and I mourn that. It's taken a toll upon me and my health, and I have to deal with that. But I have to keep saying what this book says.
Amen.
So that you can feel comfortable enough to come back, bring your children here, and say, I know my children are going to hear the word of God and be profited by this church. That's our job. That's my job. And that's our church's job. And I appreciate this church standing with me as we do this, because become hell or high water, we're going to keep doing it. Because I want this church to be a blessing, not just to us, but to all these people out here watching today, and all the people that we might be able to bring in here to say, you know what? I heard the truth down at Bethel Church. They may not have the best musicians. I don't know why that preacher thinks he's got to sit down half the time. But I heard the truth at Bethel. I want us to pray. Clayton, if you would, somebody help Clayton, show him where he can change and how to come up here. Gary, would you do that? Appreciate that. I'll give you a piece of my sugar-free pie later. I'd like for us to pray. Number one, pray for me. Boy, I need it. Pray for Brady, Amanda over here. He helps me. He supports me. Pray for one another here. I mean, we're all rotten sinners. But God wants to use this to be a blessing to other people. Amen? Let's pray that our church can be a profitable church so that we're not cut down and cast out.